From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, December 23rd. I'm Abby Larico. The Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater St. Louis will have a new CEO next month. Since 1996, Flint Fowler has grown the club from one location to 11. The incoming president, Brandon Williams, hopes to build on that momentum and inspire more children to become leaders.
What I really want to focus on is trying to incentivize them to come to the club, to come do these programs based on reward.
St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson spoke with Williams and Fowler about the organization's future. That conversation after this news on The Gateway. Six people were taken to the hospital after being hit by a car outside a popular South St. Louis business with a history of traffic incidents. The crash happened in the parking lot of the Ted Drews on Chippewa Sunday evening. The frozen custard stand was open for regular business and its Christmas tree lot near the busy Candy Cane Lane neighborhood light display. St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department reported Sunday night that all injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. SLMPD also says a 19-year-old driver initially left the scene after the crash, but returned and was interviewed by detectives. The car struck people in the parking lot, not on the public street, but a statement from Mayor Tashara Jones's office after the incident detailed pedestrian safety improvements scheduled for this area of Chippewa Street. Construction is set for January through March to avoid interfering with the custard stand's busy season. A judge late Friday struck down Missouri's near-total ban on abortion, but Planned Parenthood clinics in Missouri say they still can't offer the procedure. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports Jackson County Judge Jerry Zhang issued an order that left several restrictions in place.
Planned Parenthood sued the state shortly after voters in November approved Amendment 3, which placed the right to an abortion in the state's constitution. The suit also sought to overturn other restrictions on abortion providers. Zhang's injunction struck down the ban and some restrictions, but left others, such as clinic licensing requirements, in place. Planned Parenthood officials say those regulations are too onerous and mean they still can't perform abortions. Mallory Schwarz is executive director of Abortion Action Missouri, which backed Amendment 3. She says the decision is still a victory.
This is not a straight line process. There are going to be continued challenges, and like we have over the past year, we will continue to defeat them.
Planned Parenthood officials say they'll keep challenging the remaining restrictions in court. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
The city of St. Louis fired its embattled corrections commissioner Saturday. St. Louis Public Radio's Rachel Littman reports.
Jennifer Clemens Abdullah had returned from an unexplained 3-month leave of absence shortly before she was fired. The city offered no explanation about the timing of the decision, citing city law that closes personnel records. Her 3-year tenure as the head of the jail was rocky. She was often at odds with the civilian board that oversees the jail. A guard was injured in a 2023 hostage taking. Attorneys struggled to speak to their clients, and 13 detainees died. Deputy Commissioner Tammy Ross will be the acting corrections commissioner until the permanent replacement is hired. The city recently signed a 2-month contract with former St. Louis County Justice Services Director Doug Burris to recommend fixes to the jail. I'm Rachel Littman, St. Louis Public Radio.
A St. Louis County judge has determined it's the state's responsibility to name a replacement for Prosecutor Wesley Bell. In a Friday afternoon ruling, Judge Brian May says that prosecuting attorneys are state officers because they issue criminal charges on behalf of the state. Therefore, the judge says state law and the Constitution give the power to fill vacancies to the governor. He has blocked County Executive Sam Page from taking any further steps to nominate a replacement. Both Page and Governor Mike Parson have put forth their preferred candidates. Page says he will appeal. As she prepares to leave office in early January, Congresswoman Cori Bush says she's not ready to disappear from public view. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports.
Bush lost a contentious and expensive re-election campaign to St. Louis County Prosecutor Wesley Bell. Bush's criticism of Israel's invasion of Gaza prompted pro-Israel groups to spend millions of dollars on Bell's behalf. Months after the election, Bush says she's still upset those ads didn't mention Israel.
None of them. They all said, well, Cori Bush is against Joe Biden. Cori Bush wants, you know, children in the district to drink dirty water from contaminated pipes and, you know, really ridiculous things.
Bush says she's not closing the door on running for office again, But she says she's focused after she leaves the House on spending time with her family and speaking out on issues she cares about. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Bush was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Francis Howell school district officials were not transparent about the growing cost of a new high school building. That's according to a new report from the state auditor. St. Louis Public Radio's Hiba Ahmed reports.
The Missouri State Auditor's Office says the original cost for Francis Howell North High School was about $64 million, but that number grew to nearly $187 million without school board approval. The report states that district officials knew of the growing cost, but failed to inform the Board of Education and the greater community. The district raised $244 million after voters passed Proposition S back in 2020. The funds are supposed to be used to upgrade school buildings and facilities across the district. Now that most of the money has been spent on one school, there are over 70 projects that require additional funding to be completed. Francis Howell North High School opened this fall and had an enrollment of nearly 1,700 students in August. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
The secretive VP St. Louis organization celebrated a new figurehead at its annual ball on Saturday.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Mysterious Majesty, the Grand Oracle, accompanied by members of his royal court.
In photos and video obtained by St. Louis Public Radio, the Grand Oracle appears masked and nearly identical to the organization's previous figurehead, the Veiled Prophet. The images also show some VP St. Louis members dressed in royal costumes with apparent face paint to darken their skin. VP St. Louis said it removed the prophet last year as part of its efforts to move on from a troubled past of associations with racism and exclusion. In a statement Sunday, VP St. Louis again affirmed the Veiled Prophet is no more and said, quote, "While some ceremonial traditions remain, they are distinct in purpose and representation from the past." Leadership at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater St. Louis is changing hands. Flint Fowler has been the president and CEO for nearly three decades and is retiring at the end of the year. Fowler has helped the youth organization grow from one location to 11, serving over 14,000 children. Brandon Williams is the organization's incoming president. The former NFL player and entrepreneur once played sports at area clubs. Both men discussed their hopes for the Boys and Girls Club.
Flint Fowler, currently the president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater St. Louis.
Brandon Williams, the new president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater St. Louis. I'm from North City. We kind of moved around a lot. My core place that I would play sports at was Matthew Dickey. I was six, and we had a summer camp. And then I started playing football that same fall.
Well, I started with the Boys and Girls Club following a career basically focused on youth. I ran a program called Upward Bound with St. Louis University En-ROADS, and a program called Operation Teamwork with the City of St. Louis. So I got a chance to interact with folks at the Boys Club back then and at the Herbert Hoover Boys Club. But that was my first real contact with the Boys Club?
I don't recall meeting Flint as a young man. I was there from, 6 to 13. And so I go to college out of St. Louis. And then once I actually come back, that's when I was more familiar with Flint and the work that he's doing.
There are kind of two facets to club membership. So there are those who are really engaged in the sports, particularly the competitive sports, or they may come to a summer program. Mm-hmm. Then a whole separate cadre of kids who are there every day after school who may not join a sports team, but they're there to get involved in STEM activities. They're in the art room. They're learning how to dance. They're dealing with computers. You know, they're there interacting with their friends. So there really are kind of several dynamics that
within.
Take place at a club site. So that's the fascinating thing
it really
to me
is.
About it. Our responsibility, I think, is to have enough of these options out there to meet the needs of as many young people as possible.
What I really want to focus on is trying to incentivize them to come to the club, to come do these programs based on reward. If you come to the club 3, 4, 5 times in a row and you invite people to the club, I want to incentivize you showing up. I want to elevate the programs that we have by adding some celebrity flavor, and I want to create opportunities for them to be competitive. It's something about kids being competitive, not only in just sports, but it can be gaming, art and fashion, coding. It can be in so many different areas.
I think he's spot on. When I was growing up, your parents told you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Children these days have access to so much. So what are you going to do at the Boys and Girls Club that's better than what I can do on my own? The sky's the limit for Brandon. I hope that he far exceeds anything that anybody could envision for Boys and Girls Club for a couple of reasons. The lives of our kids are at stake. So his success means their success.
You know what? At his retirement party, he did something that was really deeper than a transfer of knowledge. At the very end, he talked about how all these people in this room has supported him over the last 3 decades. And then he looks at me and says, and I want all y'all to support him.
Like you supported me. That was the most powerful thing that anybody could ever do. I couldn't ask for more.
How selfish it would be of me to not do that. You know, if I've gotten anything from my time there, why would I not want somebody else to have that same level of success and that same support? And why would I want him to have to start at ground zero to get where I was able to get after almost 30 years?
I want to do some really, really amazing things. And I know that it's not going to all happen in 1 year. And I have a plan that is set out for 7 to 10 years. And I think if we execute everything, St. Louis will really benefit from it by growing the next generation of leaders.
That was Brandon Williams and Flynn Fowler of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater St. Louis. The conversation was produced by St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson, edited by Brian Moline. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.